Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is June the 19th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to that. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call. The number is 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we'll definitely do that, and we will see you in queue. Or if you are in queue and I am talking about something and I'm not looking at the board, you could just simply say, excuse me, I will hear you and we'll get you on air so that your overall expressions can be made. And look forward to that, because a monologue is better than a dialogue. So please definitely do give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Okay, everyone, please continue to support the network. You can do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, hitting the donation prompt. Also, you can support this network by being a member in its social media platform known as BTR Community. And for only $24 a year, you can become a member, post all of your social media activities that are there, and you can use it to your advantage, meaning you will be able to, to use it without for your business, to promote your business, to promote you, to promote events that you think should be promoted. You can use it to your benefit within reasons. Of course, it just have to be responsible is the only thing that is required. Please be responsible. And there you go. And it benefits you, not like the other ones where they benefit from everything that you post and everything else and tell you what to do. And so this is a good thing. So definitely, you definitely want to do that, all right? And you can do that at BTR Community, www.btrcommunity.com. Excuse me, www.btrcommunity.com is where you can go to do that. So that is what's there. Okay, so also, if you would like to acquire real money, you can go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals where you can exchange your currency for real money, because the wage of a king is gold, the wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver, and the wage of a slave is debt. Every slave is paid debt. That's what the overall economic truth is. That's what how the economic system has been set up. Just for that. So make sure that even though you may not be paid in real money, make sure that you save in real money. That is just as that is important, because you may not be able to control how the economy actually gives you a medium of exchange for your labor, but you definitely can exchange that in savings for real money. So that's definitely what you want to do, and it's to your benefit, it's to your family's benefit, it's to our community's benefit. And so you could do that at Prosperity Mint. But now, when you go to Prosperity Mint, check out what's in inventory, but then email info@prosperitymint.com. info@prosperitymint.com is what you would have to email, okay, so that someone can get in contact with you and explain the appropriate way to acquire the precious metals. There is an appropriate way to acquire the precious metals and explain the overall buying process to your benefit. Very, very, very important. So we'll definitely do that. So it was a couple of calls. Brother Braggs, I'm going to catch up with you definitely in the morning. And I know I got to catch up with my sister Deb and Millie. I will catch up with you guys. Been trying to get back into the groove here from being away for a little while. So I will definitely catch up with you all. Digging me pronto. Okay? So with that being said, hold on. I got to set this up here. Let me fix this. 1 second, just bear with me. And so we don't have any dead air, at any time, if you would like to call in, please do give us a call at 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We're going to check out what's in the news. Let me just check real quick, see if my man Roz is it. My man Roz is it. Roz, if you get a chance, man, chime in real quick. 1 second. Let me pull up everything. Let me refresh because I was away today. I only got to post a couple of things, and my man Roz posted some good stuff for me. Greatly appreciate you, Roz, man, so much. And Roz knows me. When I just post one or two things, he knows that I'm crazy busy. So what does he do? He takes up the slack. And I just wanted to say, Roz and Jenna, greatly appreciate you, and Roz, extremely, extremely appreciate you doing that, checking out when I have minimum postings inside of Tando, and then you fill in for me, and I put in stuff. I greatly, greatly appreciate that so much, okay? And my man Jenna, just being Jenna, filling in for the show from time to time. I will say this Friday, I will be away. 1 second. I will not be on air on Friday. I have a commitment that I have to make. So won't be on air Friday. I'll get with Scotty C with some of the things, if there's something that he wants to do, or get with Jenna and Roz, see if they would want to do the show. So just to let you all know that Friday, Financial Friday, and I'll do Financial Friday tomorrow, Wise Wednesday. Brother Davis is not going to be able to do the show tomorrow, so we'll do I would have done on Friday then. So we'll get you all squared away. So we're situated there. Roz, what's going on, bro? How you feeling?
Peace. What's good? How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. What's happening?
Hey, man, nothing. Just been working hard and just trying to stay focused. Matter of fact, I don't know if you heard about that shooting at the event in New Jersey where it was like 22 people that were shot. One person was killed. They just arrested two of the other shooters. But basically, there's an event here called Auto All Night that takes place in Trenton, New Jersey. It's been like every year for like maybe the last 6-7 years or something like that. And we've gone to that event many times. Matter of fact, my wife had some of her artwork displayed at that event multiple times. And we hadn't gone for a couple of years, so we were planning to go this weekend when everything hit the fan. And for some reason, I just felt really, really exhausted. I was just dealing with a lot of allergy stuff, and I felt drained, so I really didn't feel like going. And my wife also, even though she was kind of pushing to go, she really didn't want to go either. So we ended up not going. First thing in the morning, I get a call that they had this shooting, and basically two groups of people were shooting at each other inside of a crowd full of people, the vast majority of which were black, and 22 people were shot. One of the shooters was actually shot and killed. He was shot in the head and killed while shooting at the cops. So he got into a shootout with the cops. They killed him. The other two, they just arrested today. And nobody's talking about that. You know, I noticed when all these shootings happen across this country, especially when it happens in places where colonizers are, or when the majority of victims are colonizers, it's all over the news, and let's pray for, you know, Florida, or let's pray for Vegas, or whoever else they're killing them at. But when it comes to our folks, nothing is said. So I don't know if you heard about it, but it just happened this past Saturday night into early Sunday morning was when everything happened. But it ran from, like, I believe it's like 11 p.m. to like 6 in the morning. And, of course, it was cut short because the shooting happened in, like, the wee hours of the morning. Did you hear about that at all or no? Did I lose you? Hey, Brother Dave, did you mute yourself? I don't hear you.
Can you hear me, Raj?
I hear you now. Yeah, you're good to go.
Okay. Yeah, I made a mistake and hit this mute by mistake. No, I didn't hear about it, Raj. I was actually over the weekend. I was just getting back in country.
That's right. So, Mexico. That's right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so no, I didn't hear about it at all. Had no clue about that. And so how many what was it, just individuals? What was the circumstances, Ross?
From what I understand, it was two groups of people. I don't know if they had like a prior beef or something jumped off there, because the event has always been really safe. So there's always been like a pretty much minimal police presence, and I just assume they were allowing people to just be responsible adults. Because, like I said, nothing major ever popped off at that event. It was always peaceful. There's food there. People have different all kinds of artwork as far as paintings and sculptings and all kinds of stuff, so you can walk through. They're playing music, like different types of music. So you're walking through, and it's almost like a jubilant atmosphere. And then they have like food vendors and all kinds of stuff. So it's like a whole event that takes place at night. Never had any problems, and then for some reason these two groups got into an altercation and started shooting at
each other. Decided to bring some.
Yep, and they're in the middle of the crowd now. So I mean, you're surrounded by innocent bystanders, and you're just letting off at one person or a couple people, and then they're letting off at you, not caring about who's behind you or around. And from what I understand, there's the person that's most critically injured that is alive still is a 13-year-old boy. So, I mean, this is a place where, you know, children come. It's a family event, you know what I mean? And just terrible, just completely terrible. And I just said it was the ancestors that kept us home, because, you know, we could have been right up in the mix of all of that. And if we were, we could have been one of those casualties too. So, yeah, it's no joke. I just think that we have a lot of work to do as far as just how we respect life, especially the lives of our own people. When we know that we're in a society where our lives are worth less than spit, and we take the same attitude, then even though we know the psychology of that behavior is something that was taught to us, it's still something that we should be able to mitigate as grown folks, as far as just setting a code. You know, there's certain environments where that type of stuff shouldn't happen. It just should not be. And we still function without a code. We function without a code as far as just respecting each other, respecting people who ain't in the street life. I mean, if you're not in the street life, you should not be having to deal with anything like that, you know. And we just we live in ways in which they can use this stuff against us publicly and in the media to make foreigners who come here think that we are savages. And that's one of the major things, you know. We probably end up talking about that on tonight's show, but just the whole idea of all of this immigrant stuff. And it's the U.S. that's ruining these people's countries and causing them to come here. And then we in turn jump on the colonizers' bandwagon as far as just, hey, these people are, you know, they practice racism against us too, so they shouldn't be here. And it's not really a holistic view of these people.
And
it's,
you know,
it's a one-sided
Roz,
view.
Hold on. And that's, you know, part of today's show, how this system really, you know, because we don't live by moral absolutes.
Nope.
We don't have moral absolutes. And that is going to be a problem for us. And that's, you know, what today's show is going to be out and it'd be about. And it's for to our best interest. And we can't make an excuse for that. We either do or we don't. And until we do, generally, and I'll get into that in a minute, but everything you're saying is so, so true. And I just wanted to let you know that, yeah, that's, you know, a part of definitely today's show. So, but go ahead, bro. Finish what you were saying.
Yeah, I was just saying it's just to me, the practice of refining the psychology of their victims is just, it's just incredible because
It is.
You know, I had a discussion with a sister Adua today on BTR community, and she had posted a video of this brother going in about why the immigrant and their situation as far as being the families being separated and all this stuff is not our problem. And I understood the premise in which he was speaking about, but I told her, I said, you know, one thing he didn't take into consideration is the fact that it's human nature to go to a place that is not dealing with the same violence, political unrest, and basic terror that you're dealing with in your home country, and that the U.S. has created those circumstances in their home country to cause them to want to come here in the first place. Now, when these people get here, especially when you're talking about Mexicans, they're not really illegal when you understand the history of this continent. Everything from Texas, New Mexico, Nevada, all up into California was all part of Mexico in ancient times. So when you're in a country that's being where political unrest is facilitated by the colonizer who has hegemony over the Western Hemisphere, the only place to go is to go someplace where the same things aren't happening. So they're coming here. Then you have a lot of these people who are discussing that the truth of the fact that the Mexicans are basically wholesale ethnic cleansing certain areas, black areas on the West Coast. That is happening. But that still does not mean that every Mexican that comes here hates black people. That's just not
true. Yeah, you know what, Roz, and it was critical that we talk about this because one thing is that we forget and sometimes we don't know that during slavery, Mexico was the only country that offered sanctuary that would not allow slavery. And they particularly put that in because of what was going on in the Americas, and their overall mantra was that if the American slaves that are in America, if they can make it to the Mexican border, we will give them land. And we, you know, and for whatever reason, we may not know about it, but this is an issue. And one of the things, and I'm going to get into it in the show, and everything that you're talking about is so, so true and so important. And I want to just hold off on that, Roz, so that we can get what's in the news and then really jump into this because it's something that really needs to actually be given the right entry point for us to really conceptualize what's really going on. And I'm not saying that, you know, we have all of the answers and everything else, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is that we're not asking the right questions about things. That's why nothing has changed. Nothing has changed because we're not asking the right questions. And asking a question is not just simply speaking it. Asking a question is with your actions. You're questioning with your actions. Why? No, I won't do that. No, I won't do this. Why should I do? No way in the world. And it's so, so important. So let's get into what's in the news. Roz, did you want to read some of the stuff that was in the news? Because And yeah, I wanted to thank you, man, for what you put in. It really helped me out today because I was really busy trying to catch up from the time that I took off last week. I'll read the first four that I put in, and then if you would just read the ones that you put in and why you put them in would be cool. But okay, let's do it so that we can have enough time for the show as well, because this show is real, 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 real important. Cool?
No problem. So I'm mute myself till you're done. No problem. I'm right here.
Okay, cool. Hopefully, one second, right? Let me get this to come on. And we got another caller in queue. We'll go to you. Let me go to the caller first, because I don't want. Okay. We'll come back to you in one second, my man. Thank you, brother Otis. Always on point on everything else. He said, "Real talk." I posted it on Tom Hartman today. So. Let me real quickly. Let me just set up here because it didn't show the postings that we had, so I can read them. And so hopefully it will now. Okay, cool. It did some. Didn't do them all. Here we go. Okay, great. So hopefully it will populate and then we'll get going. All right. So here we go. First article I posted from RT International, Russia Today. Trump raises stake in trade war with China, targets further $2 billion worth of imports with tariffs. U.S. celebrity figurehead Donald Trump is looking to impose 10% tariffs on another $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. This whole thing is about to continue to explode. Trade wars, currency wars, trade wars, shooting wars. Next article, really, really important. This is part of one of the things I wanted to get to yesterday and yesterday's show. The Daily Beast, Beijing is holding U.S. citizens hostage in China. In an ongoing campaign to extend the reach beyond its borders, the Chinese government has founded a new form of leverage American citizens in China last year. Very, very important. This is going to definitely, and this is, if we don't change the way we interact with this system, then everything that's been happening of the past will continue to happen today because nothing has changed. They just revolutionized everything. So check out that article. Next article came from The Hill. Sessions responds to Nazis' comparisons, saying they were keeping the Jews from leaving, as his excuse. Celebrity figurehead Attorney General Jeff Sessions responded to Nazi comparisons. They were keeping the Jews from leaving, is what he says. Migrant children detention centers essentially summer camps, or essentially summer camps. Boy. And here's the thing. What they're doing to them, they've been doing to all communities, but they're going to expand it even further now. They desensitize you. And we got to be much, much keener to look at history. We focus too much on those that we really don't have a problem with. And we don't focus on what is the real cause, what is the real illness. We focus far, far too much on the sniffles, on the effects of it, on the pain of it. We are not looking at the disease, the true disease. And one of the reasons why we can't look at the true disease is because we've been infected with that disease and we're carriers of that disease. We act that way. We have become what we had to endure. And that's very, very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. And I'm not talking about individuals because I don't know everybody. But what I'm talking about is the overall collective movement is that we have become what we had to endure. And once that happens, the system completely has you under their control, right where they want you. We have to think anew. Next article from the Global Research. Trump geopolitical reality show, Surreal, offers unparalleled entry to the annuals of the international diplomacy. Check out that article. Then Roz had the next articles. Roz, so if you wanted to read those articles, and real quick, let's do it, because I would definitely want to get into today's show. There you go, bro. Sure. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. No problem. The first one I posted was from rawstory.us. It's entitled, Report Says John Kelly Barely Tolerating Trump. Let him do what he wants, even if it leads to impeachment. So it says the White House Chief of Staff John Kelly and President Donald Trump are said to be barely tolerating each other, according to Politico. Kelly's status in the White House has changed in recent months amid recent condemnation of Trump's policy of separating immigrant children from their parents. So this is just tying into the fact that you got people who in his cabinet who wish to be more refined with the way that they practice white supremacy versus his overt just non-caring variation of overt white supremacy he wishes to practice. So there's dissension, obviously, on the home front for Trump himself. And it seems to have even spilled over into the next article. I'm just going to put that out there. This one's from Antimedia, and it says, heinous lie, U.S. official denies existence of family separation policy. It says, in a heinous lie aimed at distorting the historical record and avoiding responsibility for the mass cruelty perpetuated under her watch, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen falsely claimed in a series of tweets late Sunday that the Trump administration does, quote, not have a policy of separating families at the border, unquote. So my thing is, this is just a game. If you study this country, it started as far as the separation of people from their families with the Aboriginal and Native American populations here, and of course with the Africans that they brought here to enslave as a result of their transatlantic slave trade. But this is not new. What they're trying to do now is pretty much make it look like something that's not. So I don't know if you want to chime in on that, Dave, or you just want to wait till, you know, we get into the show to deal with that.
Yeah, we'll get into the show. Yeah.
No problem. So the next one is also from Antimedia. It's entitled Amphetamine Bonfire. Syrians seize and destroy $1.4 million worth of drugs. Rebels in southern Syria seize and destroy $1.4 million worth of drugs while conducting an operation against the Islamic State, and the U.S.-led coalition backing them said on Monday. According to the coalition, the narcotics were captured on May 31st by Maguire al-Thawra, a rebel group trained by the United States and Jordan during an offensive against ISIS in southeast Syria. So that's one very interesting turn of events with the drugs. Next one is the same thing from Antimedia. The EU backs efforts to prosecute Israeli military officials for human rights violations. We'll see how far this goes with the U.S. dominating the whole situation through the UN. The European Union is funding a project to prosecute Israeli Defense Force officers for committing violations against Palestinian civilians, according to Israel Hayom, which quotes a local human rights organization. Okay, so that's what they're saying. Hopefully they'll be able to facilitate some justice for the Palestinians, who are basically treated like black people have and are treated. So hopefully they can get some sort of restitution or justice facilitated through this particular move. The next one is also from Antimedia as well. Mattis slams Putin for trying to, quote, undermine America's moral authority, unquote. That's a joke. At a graduation ceremony for the U.S. Naval War College, the U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis asserted that Russian President Vladimir Putin, quote, aims to diminish the appeal of Western democratic model and attempts to undermine America's moral authority, unquote. And that his, quote, his actions are designed not to challenge our arms at this point, but to undercut and compromise our belief in our ideals. Well, not really, because the ideals y'all practice is white supremacy and domination of white people. So this is a joke right here as far as moral authority. I think Martin Luther King spoke to the fact that America's morally bankrupt, and it was bankrupt long before he came into existence as a person on this planet. So yeah, that's a joke right there. I think it's a sick joke, but it's a joke nonetheless. The next one is from Naive Networks, as Dave so eloquently calls them, and I just said, be careful if you choose to let your children watch this film. Incredibles 2 theaters post warnings due to seizure control Incredibles 2 might moviegoers seeing Disney's Incredibles 2 might notice some health-related warning signs posted regarding to the film, which had the biggest box office opening for an animated movie ever. Basically, it causes what's known as photosensitive epileptic seizures. So if your child is sensitive to flashing lights, there's certain parts of the film where they use these flashing lights in ways that can trigger off epileptic seizures. So just be aware of that. That's what that's in reference to. The next article is from Natural Blaze. And this one is a recall of Kellogg's cereal due to salmonella. There's been the FDA warned of a multi-state salmonella outbreak that has been traced back to a popular Kellogg's cereal. So far, the outbreak has affected 73 people in 31 states. And salmonella can be lethal. it can be lethal. Also, colloidal silver is something you can use to mitigate the effects of salmonella. It will kill it. But the bottom line is you want to stay away from Kellogg's cereal and read the article to get more detail about it. But bottom line is you don't want salmonella. It is horrible. I never had it, but I know someone who did, and they wish they actually told me they wish they were dead while they were in the throes of dealing with fighting that particular infection. So please, please just be careful. The next one, excuse me, is from AskAPrepper.com. How to prepare for the coming food crisis. It's a very, very good article just about information you can use to kind of give yourself a guideline on the things you want to be aware of and focus on as you're preparing for the potential food crisis that's coming. The next one is also from Ask a Prepper. Awesome places where you can hide your food when the crap hits the fan. Also very good. It's about also places you can stash your food in case, of course, people either come into your house or break into your house. They won't be able to get their hands on everything you have if something like that was to happen to you. The next one is also from Ask the Prepper. Who needs the most food in a crisis? The elderly, the young, the women? Rationing is an ominous word. It hints at shortages, deprivation, a struggle to survive. Unfortunately, it's going to be a fact of life in a crap hits the fan situation, especially when you're living off of stockpiled food as you work to reestablish a supply for yourself. So this is basically giving you great information about the ways that you can think about rationing your food depending on who you have with you during the time of a crisis, and the reasons why certain people should get food before others or more food than others depending on the context of what your survival situation looks like. The next one is also from Ask a Prepper. What do you do when someone asks for food in a crisis? So in other words, this is a situation where everything has already hit the fan. You got the people walking the street aimlessly or looking for people that they can vic and rob, and someone comes to your door and asks you for food. There's many things you can do, either shoot the person on sight or provide right. them very little. So it basically deals with different scenarios and how you might want to deal with that situation to prevent further situations developing into further stressful scenarios as far as having more and more people coming to your house to get food because they saw you gave food to someone else. So it gives you a lot of good information on that and how to mitigate something like that as it happens. The next one is also from Ask a Prepper, the only 15 rules for your prepper pantry. Very great information on setting up your pantry, rotating your food, taking the oldest food and eating that first and putting the newest food to the back so that you can make sure that the food that you do have for long term stays as fresh for as long as possible. So that's a good one. The next one is also from Ask a Prepper. You pass by this plant every day without knowing how to use it when crap hits the fan. Is dealing with the willow tree, which is something I've talked about before, and how to make homemade aspirin and painkillers using that particular tree. It gives details on that information as well. So that's one that you want to check out. The next one is from Ask a Prepper 2, trees that can be tapped for sap and syrup. So these are trees you can basically drill into like the indigenous people or aboriginal people here used to do and tap those trees for sap and syrup that you can use, of course, in your prepping and your preparations for your food that you might eat in that kind of a scenario. Next is also from Ask a Prepper, how to use acorns as a survival food. You'd be surprised at the myriad of things you can use acorns for as far as eating it for survival. The aboriginal people here were brilliant with that, and this article deals with the many different ways you can use it. The next one's also from Ask a Prepper, 7 super cheap foods to stockpile that people usually throw away. Very, very good article. I just advise you to check that out. The next one is how to make survival dandelion jelly with 2-year shelf life, and that's also from Ask a Prepper. So it goes into dandelions and how to best utilize them to make dandelion jelly, as it's called, and that jelly can have a 2-year shelf life based on you following the instructions the way that they break it down in the article. The next one is from South China Morning Post. Trump prepares to slam China with $220 billion in new tariffs. It says these tariffs will go into effect if China refuses to change its practices and also if it insists on going forward with the new tariffs that it has recently announced. So he's claiming this is in retaliation, but he started this all. He's such a savage. We'll talk about that on the show later. Next one is also from South China Morning Post, and this is the last one. Kim Jong-un, is planning a third meeting with Xi Jinping. The purpose would be to brief the Chinese president on Kim's Singapore summit with Donald Trump and discuss a future negotiating strategy. So he's basically going to take the best of what he garnered from dealing with that psychopath, bring it to Xi Jinping, and hopefully give him a blueprint for what he needs to know so when he goes into that meeting with Donald Trump, he knows how to best facilitate the outcome that he would like based on the information he got from Kim Jong-un. So that's it for what's in the news today. I'm going to mute myself, Dave, and you can take over and let's move forward with the show. Looking forward to it. One love.
One love. Man, my man. Thank you. Great, great articles. And they're timely. And I would definitely suggest that you all, you know, put some real effort in preparing. We're going to do some shows on it, but it's kind of hard to you do generic stuff. You have to take an interest yourself and learn as much as you can, because when the lights go out, it's going to be a yo-yo effect. You're going to be on your own. So, but we will try to help you out as much as we can. One of the things with this platform is that I wanted to give you some of the reasons why you should be preparing, and then you take on how to do it for yourself, your family, your community, and so many different things, because the variables in between all of this is so much. But we'll touch on some cursory things that can help out. So just so you all know. So, OG, if you would, Otis, if you wanted to chime in before we get into today's show, I know you had called earlier to jump in, and then we'll get into today's show. If you wanted to call back in, now's the time to do that. There you go.
Yeah.
Welcome, brother. Salute. Good. My brother, how you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Hanging in there. I was just going to add to what Roz was saying about that event up in New Jersey. I actually went to that, I think, about the third year. It's been going about 12 years. I think the third year it was happening, I actually was dating a woman from Montclair, so I was up there when the festival went on. But what I wanted to say is it's not just a thing of immigrants or something like that. I read four or five different articles. Supposedly, the gentleman that started the whole ruckus was just out of jail on parole, wasn't supposed to have a gun, in his 30s, and they continued a beef that had gone on for years in the middle of all these people. So only part I was trying to make you that is the thing that we push you on Black Talk Radio, Scotty and Max are always talking about. The prison system is helping to deteriorate our community, because these people are just in the warehouse and they're coming out angry and distraught, with no promise of anything except more graft. So we got to do something about this.
Yeah, you know, Otis, it's a system, and really it's a system of control, because in order to have a crisis of now way of living, you have to continuously produce the crisis. And that's why they created the economy, and this is why the economy functions the way it functions. And today's show,
I'm just going to say, I don't dispute that. What I'm really trying to hone in on is when you box people and cage people in like that, when they come back out, who bears the brunt of the destructive behavior?
Sure.
That leaves our community in turmoil. It's not just in Chicago when they're talking about doing it. It's insidious, because it undermines every community that these people are returned to, because they have no hope. There's no education. There's no nothing. They're coming out, and then they come out, if they spend more than 5 to 10 years in jail, when they come out, can you imagine how far they're behind in real technology and really...
and everything else, social development. I mean, it's so much. And, you know, you think about it, Otis, this and everyone else. What is a cage for? A cage is meant to break someone's free will. A cage is actually meant to bring about mental illness, destabilize the person. So it doesn't matter what excuse the system makes. Oh, they broke this law, they broke that law. But all of the laws were put into place so that people would break them, so that this overall system of government and control and subjugation could exist. And it's producing exactly what it intended to produce: more chaos, more crisis, more mental instability, more subjugants, and more slaves. Because that's what it does. That's what a cage does. Because a cage prevents you from being able to exercise your free will. You are contained by force. And our bodies, and most living entities and living beings, will not be able to operate under those restraints. And when you seize someone's by force their ability to exercise their free will, you are actually reprogramming them from the way that the great creator had programmed them for. Now, some people say, well, you know, they could do this, they shouldn't have did this, and we got to have this. Let me tell you this. For anybody that says if we don't have laws, then we have chaos and anarchy, you are foolishly naive to the truth. Foolishly naive to the truth. What makes the anarchy and what brings out the overall feral mentality is society, is laws. That's what brings about this whole thing. And, you know, today's show is the Orthodox Ascendancy Paradigm Part 2, Flim-Flammed into Appropriateness. Because we have been flim-flammed into appropriateness. We've been flim-flammed to act the way the system has wants us to act, and it keeps the system unchallenged. It keeps the system in perfect order. It keeps the system healthy. And that cancerous disease of this system continues to thrive and eat on the host. That host being you and I and everyone else. And one of my favorite sayings was from Albert Einstein. Now, Albert Einstein, I want you to really think about what was being said here. In order to change a problem, in order to provide a solution, in order to provide a solution, you can't use the same consciousness that created the problem. You must think anew. You have to think outside. You can't use the same energy. You can't use the same ideology. You can't use the same principles. You can't have the same moral convictions. You can't have the same objectives. You can't have the same intentions as those that created the problem. Because then you're going to just extend the problem, and extending the problem to benefit you and who you see fit. But you will still use the tool of destruction. And this is one of the things that the system thoroughly indoctrinates into us all. So much so that they don't even need to give much energy to it or much free will. See, the system works because they willed for it to work. They had the will to do it, and they did it, and they put energy. Now, it's grown in such an as such a massive apparatus, and the constant momentum and the constant energy that's given to it by millions and billions of people, it gives them the overall momentum to keep going in the act of furtherance. The old saying, divide and conquer, is more than just a saying. It's the truth. And we walked away from our moral absolute. We have none. We have none. And when I say we have none, I'm not talking just about you. Not talking about one community. I'm talking about the human species. For whatever reason, and there are many reasons why, that this overall virus of subjugation is so paramount, it's so absolute in our minds, that is the only thing that we really think about and give energy to. We never, ever, ever look for a cure of it. We just want to get health care in it. We just want it to healthily take care of us. and who we deemed as being this and that. That's the human species. And that was one of the divide and conquer things that the system, those that put this system, they knew it would work by doing that. Because they knew where they were vulnerable and where they were weak. They were vulnerable and weak to this, for you to have your own free will and for you to decide collectively among people just like they did, even if it's just the few of them, they're able to control the many. They realized the power of collective prudence. Even though they hate each other, they hate the overall rest of people even more, and they love power. So often we teach ourselves, and we've been taught to esteem ourselves into a position of power. How many times you hear kids say they want to be president, they want to change this, they want to change that? How many times you heard, do you realize what that really, really means? That's that is planting the seed of deception, despair, and discord, and duress. There never has been, and there never will be, anything that this system gives that will be beneficial to the overall human species. It will always give the chain, the key, and the cell to its victim to place the cuffs on, the bondage on, and walk into their cells and lock the door and hold on to the key and stay encaged. Because without that, without them having that, without the system being able to engage in that form of practice, regardless of how strong your structure is, if the foundation is compromised, it will not stand. We've never compromised the overall paradigm of subjugation and enslavement. We are the foundation, and we remain devotedly strong to the objectives of it, even though we've been flim-flammed into appropriateness. We act appropriately to what this system needs in order to continue to survive and thrive and be prosperous. And I'm going to tell you something about the universe. The universe will allow that to happen and will not interact and interfere with that, because your free will is so strong, the great creator can't even tell you what to do. But I know of men and mankind that tell others what to do. And an order is not... an order or a law has no real relevance until someone obeys it. Once it is obeyed, it now is a living entity as well, because it's carried by those that live. And this system has been very shrewd, very methodical, very coarse and calculated. And everything that it does, we haven't done what Albert Einstein had said. We refuse to use a different consciousness. And we refuse to think anew. Because it doesn't matter if an individual has been imprisoned inside the walls and the bounds of an institution of concrete and steel. There's a greater bondage, and there's a greater incarceration that we don't talk about, and it's called freedom. It's the greatest prison ever established. But at some point and at some time, hopefully by us giving our free will to disassemble this, we will never enter in. We are too tainted. I'm too tainted. You're too tainted to enter in. because this is all that we've known. And I'm going to say, in my overall estimate, enough hasn't happened for us to get to that final breaking point. One thing that I do have great faith in, I do have faith in the relentless human spirit. When it finally gets to that point of no more, there's a clearing and a cleansing, both mental, physical, and spiritual and energy-wise, that happens. And then that relentless human spirit can now change the overall course of the disastrous history of the past to regain the prosperity that has been lost. I think we are where we are because we're not at that point of I'm tired of this. Because as long as we're tired, just by being tired means that we're enduring. We haven't got to that refusal point. There's a difference between being tired and a refusal point. Because when you get to the refusal point, it doesn't matter what threat, it doesn't matter what entity is placed before you. You see it not for its image. Your refusal is internally bound. Doesn't matter. But one of the things I do, some of the things that I do see is this. As we start to move forward, there are going to be different moments that the system is going to invoke willfully, and there will be some unintentional events that will happen by those that have given into the overall ideology of subjugation and enslavement. And they're going to develop some tyranny of their own. And at some point, I don't know when, I don't know who, because no longer do I look at things the way the system told me to look at things. The system told me to look at this person because of the way they speak, look at that person because of the way that they look. Those are all dividing lines. That doesn't move me anymore. What moves me is the truth, not the lies, not the deception. Not the dominion, to have dominion over something. And when that doesn't move you, it gives you a different perspective of things. You realize that I don't want to think, I don't want to eat, I don't want to engage myself with anything that they do. And you come to a hard realization that, oh my gosh, everything that I've been taught, the way that I live, is about that program. It's about that thing. You have to come to some hard reality. And that hard reality is you're responsible for everything that you know. Just because you excuse it doesn't make you immune from what you know. And I'm responsible for everything that I know. And I've been dealing with this, and it's troubled me for so long because of how embedded I am to this all and how embedded you are to this whole thing. And that's just the truth of it all. There's probably very few people. There's probably very few within the human species that has actually entered this realm, this moment, these moments of the present moment, and have known what real sovereignty and self-determination is. The majority of this world, the majority of this place, of this moment, everyone was born into subjugation. And when you're born into subjugation, you start off not knowing what self-determination and sovereignty is. So you've never, ever been able to attach your overall ideology, your overall talents, your abilities, your growth, your will, and your moral absolutes to it. What is a moral absolute? A moral absolute is where you will say, I will not compromise on this for nothing. If I have to compromise on this, I will look at what the alternative is, and that is the only way that I can go. That's the only path. If it means that I'm not going to be physically in physical form here, that's all right. Those are moral absolutes, where there is no deal making, there is no offer, there is no voting, there is no plea bargain, there is no compromise, there is no separation. And this system exists because we have no moral absolutes. We haven't been re-engaging that into our lives because a subjugated mind never thinks that way. A warrior does. A soldier doesn't. A soldier can't. A soldier can't do what a warrior thinks. And we've been so deceived and flim-flammed in this whole system, and to the point where we're appropriately respond to things. They tell you what to say and what to think based off of many different demographical things that's laid out right in front of us all. And I remember the isolation that I saw in Malcolm and I saw in Dr. King. When they started to invoke their moral absolutes, and when they invoked their moral absolutes, their energy changed. Their energy spoke about the human species. It spoke about people. Knowing that they were told, don't go down that road. And their moral absolute says, this is the only road that I choose. You know, the system teaches us to love violence. And there's a difference between violence and using force to protect yourself. It's a huge difference. The violence in which we speak with, the violence in which we live by, is evidence that we've compromised our overall moral convictions and our moral absolutes to obey. Because the system is going to give you the temptation of your desire. And it is all going to be seated in hate. It's all going to be seated in selfishness and self-righteousness. It's all going to be seated in power. And the power play that they're going to use is economic power from the economic system that they created. They're going to give you power of influence through the entertainment and celebrity establishment of the institutions that they created. And the greatest one of all is going to give you the immunity into debauchery from the debauchery and immoral state that they created. And I'm going to tell you, we've lost and losing the battle because we know not what the threat really is. We've been so ambushed and so thoroughly confused that we can't really see the objective and the methods that are being used against us. It's being used. It's going to be used in our homes. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Thank you, Scotty. Much love and much respect. When we come back, we want to jump on to this. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Area code 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I think it's very important that we know some of these things and properly prepare ourselves for creating the atmosphere, the conditions, the environment that's conducive to us once again regaining our self-determination and prosperity. And that can only be done through preparation. They told you to march, you will be walking forever and get nowhere. It is the treadmill of sovereignty. Walking in the same place. You can't vote your way to it. There's no ballot that can meet the appropriate measures to heal the disease that has infected us all. It's insufficient. We can't use the same methods and tactics that the very ones that are in position of control has told us this is the available tool chest that you can work from. There is no tree of life in that toolbox. There is no prosperity that's there. And we have to prepare for it because this system is very, very thorough. They have established boundaries and borders throughout the world for one reason and one reason only, because those are the invisible walls of prison. And they reinforce those walls. Those walls and that overall barrier and that overall internment facility is so high and so wide that you can't even see it. And what we can't see, whatever they've actually taught us to only be able to project ourselves to what we can physically see. How many of you throughout the ages, your sight has been getting weaker and weaker? And even if you have 20/20 vision, on the real scope of sovereignty and self-determination, that sight is blind. And this system realizes that it has to separate the people, the human species, and then to establish their order of standards of living. And when people conform to that order of standard of living, you are now under full control by choice of the order that you profess. You can profess it with your mouth, but more importantly, you profess it with your energy, how you conduct your day-to-day life. And they built it pretty strong. And I want to give a little example here from this article. And then I got Roz in queue. I didn't know if Roz wanted to chime in or not, or if he was on open. But Roz, if you wanted to chime in, give me well, let me know, and then I'll let you chime in. Then I want to read this article. I wasn't quite sure if you wanted to chime in or not. I saw it was open.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead. I'm just listening right now. You've been saying some great stuff, so I might chime in after you get through the article, okay?
Okay, cool. So here's the article. Beijing is holding U.S. citizens hostage in China. See? The system always used the printing press as in the overall propaganda as its strongest tool. Without it, the actual system would have to work to control you. With propaganda, it's minimal effort that's needed to control you. It's a balancing act. And it's a balancing act of how can you spin the whole world on the tip of your index finger? Well, there's things that you have to do in order to do that if that's your desire. And they're doing it. Here's the article. In its ongoing campaign to extend its reach beyond its borders, the Chinese government has a new form of leverage, American citizens in China. Last year, Beijing prevented several U.S. citizens from leaving China, including a pregnant woman, according to email correspondence obtained by the Daily Beast. The total number of so-called exit ban places on U.S. citizens in China is unknown. But at least two dozen cases have occurred within the past 2 years, according to one analyst's estimation. Let me stop there. See, in divide and conquer, the objective is to get people to willfully do what you want them to do without knowing that they're doing it. Divide and conquer is not so much about dividing one person from another person. It's about dividing you from your ability to execute your free will. And the system knows that if it can divide your overall energy, your will and your energy, if they can divide your will and your energy, they've conquered you. Because your will is what you intend to do. Your energy is how it's done. Divide and conquer has nothing to do with groups of people, has everything to do with individuals' will and their energy. Because if you can fracture that, you've conquered the multitude of individuals. And you can influence them to do everything that you want. They will actually do whatever it is that you want without you even speaking it, because it's the energy control. It's dominion. So you say, Dave, where are you getting this from? Here's what I mean by this. The overall system puts concentration camps everywhere. Put them in China, put them in Russia, put them in the U.S., put them in Jersey, put them in California, put them everywhere. They put them in those positions for one reason and one reason only. It's not what we've been told or what we thought. The reason that man enslaves and captures other mankind and puts them into internment camps is to conquer them. And it's not just one so-called group of people that they're after to conquer. They conquer everybody. But they know that the overall influence and the tool and the apparatus has to be different at different times, at different increments, and at different with different individuals. Because they studied their enemy and what they perceive as their property. They know the difference between a slave and a person of self-determination. We don't. And because they know that, they know how to invoke themselves without being noticed. Not just locking up. Immigrants from Mexico separating their children from their parents. They're not just doing that. See, that's the propaganda that they're telling you. But they build all of these concentration and internment camps from mental institutions to juvenile detentions to prisons to this to that. They put all of that in place, but it's not just the buildings. The most appropriate prison is the school. The hospital and the school. Is the first prison. Then the economy. Then the geopolitical landscape. Then entertainment is one of the greatest prisons that captures so many people. From sports to movies to all of these things, these are prisons. And they put these prisons in place to divide and conquer. They've been doing it so well. You know, when Dr. King started talking about the poor people, you notice the system had a problem with him. He wasn't talking about civil rights. Go to the speech at Riverside Baptist Church in New York City 1 year before he was assassinated. And hear him talk about how his friends, his so-called colleagues, his inner circle, was saying, "Why, Dr. King? Because when you start talking about people and you start talking about human condition, you are saying, no longer am I going to be conquered. No longer am I going to be divided. And if I'm not being divided from my energy and my free will, then I can't be conquered. This is where you stop using the same consciousness You can't support any war. Why Dr. King says, why I can't support the war. After the Hajj, I want you to listen, not hear. Listen to what Brother Malcolm was saying. Listen, don't hear it. And at that time, those individuals, because of the influence that they had, they would not allow, they would allow their own individual reconstitution of their free will and their energy to be reconnected among them individually, but they definitely would not want them to have that influence on other people, because then other people wouldn't be divided and conquered. See, when you're divided between your will and your energy, your will is what directs and what steers and what drives. Excuse me, and what steers your overall energy. Your energy is what drives, what moves, what propels, what creates. What energy force is created. And then when you reconnect those to what the great creator has given to you as a gift, as an obligation, as a responsibility, now you're able to create other living entities and other living environments. And this system doesn't want you to create a living environment that is absent of subjugation and enslavement, because that was the system's objective. And all those that gave their energy to propel it. And when you do that, it becomes such so mucky and so muddy and so murky and so convoluted and so confusing. That overall state and that energy resonates disastrously within our overall human constitution. And it starts to deteriorate our good sense. We never really notice why children can get along with another child that they don't know. And many would say that they haven't been taught to hate. No, that's not what it was. What has happened is that they haven't been divided. Their will and their energy is in sync. The hate comes after you separate the will from the energy. Then you keep them away from each other by hate. That's what this system does. In this article, real quick, I'm going to go to Roz, is basically saying this. Let me just finish this real quick. Go back to this. Chinese authorities typically target U.S. citizens of Chinese heritage for exit bans. Usually in connecting with an investigation, sometimes Beijing will use American citizens to try to coerce family members to reside in the U.S. to return to China or to cooperate with the Chinese authority in investigations. Chinese celebrity figurehead President Xi Jinping has championed a sweeping anti-corruption campaign with an international element known as Operation Fox Hunt, aimed to persuade Chinese citizens who have fled abroad after allegedly committing economic crimes. The United States does not have an extradition treaty with China. and in the past has rarely cooperated with the Chinese demand to repatriate Chinese citizens who Beijing has considered to be fugitives. Beijing has previously deployed undercover agents in the to the U.S. to coerce targets into returning to China, violating the U.S. visa laws, prompting U.S. government in the nation. So, what is really being said here? See, we take at face value that's what's intended, but we don't see the obvious. And the obvious is that all of these governments are in a fraternity together. They have these operations that they keep secret from you. Why do you think that they have to keep secret? Because the secret is you. Believe me, they plan on sitting at the table of negotiation. And the meal that they're going to be serving at that table of negotiation is you. You're what's for dinner. It doesn't matter what country it is, they all practice this. They practice this because it's the fraternal order that they have chosen to follow for payment to have the overall cares and delights that their hearts, temptations that they can fathom, from little boys to little girls to the grown men, grown women, the drugs, the cash, that currency that these governments create that have no real wealth, is just a figment of wealth, is just a facade of wealth. For this moonlight, ain't no such thing as moonlight. It doesn't exist. And they've been so keen and cunning. And I say that one of the first things that we're going to have to do in preparing is that we're going to have to reconnect our energy and our will. Because if we continue to do what we've done in the past, we will continue to get the same result that we've gotten for so long in compromise. And we are here because it's our fault. We have failed to prepare by thinking anew. Because it's been the only thing that we've known is to try to make it in this system the best that you absolutely can. Divide your conscience, divide your energy, divide your will from each other. And be conquered. And hopefully the system will be choosing you at the appropriate political time for the political winds of no change. And they blow that from the east to the west, from the north to the south. And once Brother Malcolm and Brother Martin realized that it was something greater than themselves, meaning that they were already taken care of because they reconnected their will and their energy, now it's time to do something and to serve greater than yourself, which is the real meaning and measure of love. When you stop living for yourself and you start living for the advancement of someone else, especially under these conditions. We don't have a long way to go. We just have one stop to make. We need to stop complying. We got to reengage ourselves. We got to prepare for that. Because is the only way to bring a solution, to bring a cure to what ails us. There is no judge that you can go to for restitution or to be pardoned. There is no immunity that no paternal order of government can offer you that will bridge you away from the truth. But we think that because we've been so disengaged from our energy and our will. When we re-engage our energy and will, there's something childish that happens to us all. It's probably the most healthiest and what's needed the most. So, I want to, real quickly, before we go into the last commercial break, I think we got two callers in queue, want to go to Roz and Jenna, and I want to give them the after the commercial break so they won't be interrupted. But I would say to you all, really grasp and think about in your own terms, under your own likeness, in your own image, in your own energy and capabilities and talents, think about what Albert Einstein said and how that applies to today, how that applies to you. Because if we will do that, if we decide not to use the same consciousness that created the problem, we, in order to have the solution, we must think anew. There's a great responsibility in that. You may say, yes, that's the truth, but the overall energy and connection and the commitment and discipline that we will take to do that means that we're going to have to walk through the desert and we're not going to make it. But are we truly willing to say enough is enough? The system offers me nothing of merit, nothing of value. All it does is make me price sensitive. It doesn't make me aware of anything of value. What's for sale? That's being price sensitive. Instead of, what value is it that we have here that we can have prosperity beyond ourselves? Not to glorify, not to cantonize me as individuals and others as individuals, but to make a real movement and a progression for to develop a class one society that we all can be proud that we started. We did the most difficult thing. We gave everything of ourselves. And in our death, prosperity will surely come. So, getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go to Roz and to Jenna. That's in queue. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. The real preparation that we need to is we need to prepare ourselves to re-engage our will and our energy for self-sustainability and sovereignty. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. All right, so you were listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're going to go to, I can't see the board. Maybe Scotty had told me he was not going to be here. Oh. Okay, so we've done our commercial break. Let's go to Roz, and then we're going to go to Jenna. Roz, what say you? Go ahead, bro.
Hey, peace. How you doing?
What's up, bro?
I'm good. I just think what you were talking about is quite poignant, because we just have to really take holistic views at exactly what's going on, and I think it'll really help us to get our focus in proper order so that we don't actually end up burning bridges that we should not be burning in the first place. When I was talking earlier and I was discussing the whole thing with these so-called Latinos that are being separated from their families and whatnot, that I've seen some black people, even on our platform, discuss as if it's a good thing. And I've been saying from day one, the moment that you saw what they were doing to those people who are basically more visually appealing to our colonizer because they're lighter skinned, then it should really give us an understanding that we need to get our crap together, because after they're done with them, they're coming for us next. And we have, some of us have this ideology that because of the issues that have been fostered between ourselves and so-called Latinos that have been fostered by the colonizer, that they are also our enemy. Well, these are just pretty much Spanish-speaking black people, or quote-unquote mixed race Spanish-speaking non-white people. And a lot of the hatred we see in on the West Coast as far as them ethnic cleansing certain areas and the violence that takes place between the two groups has all been fostered from the system of white supremacy itself, and then their experiences in the prison. Because when you go in the prison breaks up along racial lines. The Aryans go with the Aryans, the Latinos go with the Latinos, the blacks go with the blacks, and then they all fight each other. So the racism that they're carrying to their neighborhoods is an acute form of microcosmic racism that they're experiencing in the jail. So when you're in a jail situation where you are fighting each other along racial lines, and of course you got the warden and the COs facilitating this beef so they can make money, because they make bets on who's going to kill who and all of that stuff, then they come to the streets, and what do you think they're going to do but practice the same thing? It's not like they were in there getting a proper education as to what the history is and how to get their lives together. They're getting an education on how to be better criminals, murderers, and everything else. So my thing is, if we, because of the fact that these people are going to...
Hey, I think Scotty was going to do the commercial break right now. Hold on, Rod. We're going to do the commercial break. We'll be right back, and... there was Jenna and OG put in U.S. withdrew from UN Human Rights Council over perceived bias against Israel. This is The Purge, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Purge, and it's going to get far worse. Listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We'll come back to you, Ryan.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Jenna and OG had posted in the chat that the U.S. has withdrew from the UN's Human Rights Council. And this is all, I'm telling you, this is all a part of the purge. This is where, this is really the, where the world will turn against the U.S. in World War III that will turn into global nuclear war. This is the evolution. This is the overall process. All empires fall, because the system needs that to happen for it to remain relevant. So I want to go back to Roz, then we'll go to Jenna. Roz, sorry for the cut in the, with the commercial break, but pick up where you were, bro. Go ahead.
No problem. So, yeah, so my thing is, like, these people who look like us, who have the same mentality and the same cold, callous, heartless attitude that our colonizers have, are just as sick as the colonizers are. The main reason is this. I'm an immigrant from the Caribbean, a black Caribbean island, Trinidad and Tobago, twin island nation. I have relatives from Venezuela who are black, Spanish-speaking Venezuelans, and it took me moving to this country, to Brooklyn, for my family moving to Brooklyn in order for me to even meet that side of the family. And the whole thing in a nutshell is these people, some of them understand their history and they know that they're African descendant people and they're very proud of it. And if we were to turn around and shun these people, now mind you, they were already planning going to outnumber us, politically speaking, in very short order, because they're outpropriating everyone in this country, including black people. So if we start crapping all over these people who are at this time being groomed by the colonizers to be the next stage of their system, because they're grooming a lot of these Latinos to think they're white and to function like white people politically. So the ones that are not doing that, who understand the reality and are willing to work with us to do something about that, if we start wholesale just crapping on these people saying, yeah, deport them, what do you think is going to happen when they finally take over and they look back and say, well, remember some of us were trying to get with these people and they were treating us like white people treat black people? They're going to crap all over us too. And my thing is, there's a great organization that I'm a part of in Harlem called, it's called the Caribbean Cultural Center and African Diaspora Institute. It is created by a black African Puerto Rican female who basically dedicated her life to facilitating, educating so-called Latino people about their African heritage. And there, through that organization, they've been creating the next leaders to help facilitate some of the stuff that we've been talking about as far as us coming together collectively. So for those people who are ignorant enough to just take a white supremacist stance in blackface and go publicly and say, yeah, great, get them up out of here. Well, the truth is, if they're going to put those people who are, like I said, visually pleasing to the colonizer because they're lighter skinned, some of them, and let me tell you, some of the people in this organization, some people will look at it and say, oh, that's probably one of those white Puerto Ricans. And they're just as staunch African-centered people as the dark-skinned Puerto Ricans. So there it is. There in, again, comes the color issue, the colorism problem, or as we discussed a couple weeks ago, the quote-unquote mulatto problem. So you're creating enemies in spaces where you don't need them just to be aligned with the people who dominate. That is the most ignorant, backward, non-self-serving, self-destructive mentality I've ever seen, and it's nauseating and disgusting. And we should be more intelligent than that. And like I've always said, when immigrants come here, whether it's from the continent, from the Caribbean, or from any other diasporic area, we should be making inroads with them to help them understand the way racism is practiced here, so that they better understand how to first navigate the system to keep themselves and their families safe. And then also, they have a larger group that they can connect with so that they can work with that group to try and facilitate justice while they're here in this land, which is what my family did when we got here. But instead of us thinking with that kind of foresight, we choose to think like our enemy and actually function like our enemy. And some of us do it proudly in a public space. It's disgusting. With that, I'll mute myself. Thank you, good brother.
Right, my man. And, you know, I will be glad when we look at we are able to reconnect so we can see what this all really is because it's a real apparatus. And that apparatus is everything that's put before you and that you see is purposely put there to facilitate the whole agenda. We got another caller in queue. My man Jenna wanted to sound off. Jenna, what say you, bro? Welcome to Tantal Radio Show.
Hey, greetings to you, Scotty, Roz, Brother O, and all of the other listeners and viewers. You know, Roz. God, man, Roz. That's actually what we're going to be getting into tonight. So that'll be great. I can see he's very fiery right now, so that's good. But Brother Otis, I didn't know that he had put that up when I had put the article up there. And I was just remember, like Ross was saying, well, adding on to what Ross was saying, those first set of immigrants that they just completely turned back, remember, they was those Somalian immigrants. They just turned them right back around, sent them right back to the ocean. So they already done started on us. Like he said, they just getting us used to seeing this happen right now. And if you could, while they violating human rights right now, if you could read that paragraph what Brother Otis had put up there, because that goes right into what y'all talking about, because they saying this now because they getting ready to ramp up on human rights violations over here. And I put myself on mute. Thank you for your time, bro.
Okay, so I think he's talking about from Otis. It says Secretary of State Mont Pompano and Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, all celebrity figurehead, announced the decision in a joint statement Tuesday. I want to make it crystal clear, quote, I want to make it crystal clear that this step is not to retreat from human rights commitments. Well, the U.S. has never had any commitment to human rights the way that you think. See, they had commitments to human rights as human resource, the rights of property, not from the benevolency of moral absolutes. They were just telling you what you could and do, could and couldn't do under the overall ownership of your person to the establishment. They were never about, see, they just play on words. There was never any commitment to being benevolent. It was always a commitment to invoking situations in an environment of obey. Obey, obey, obey. Surrender all of your energy to my overall will.
Dave.
That's
brother
what
Dave,
that was about.
You got to finish
yeah,
it,
I think. Yeah, I'm going to finish it. There was Scotty, and then, I'll finish it for sure. Go ahead, Scotty.
Just real quick. When Thomas Jefferson wrote the preamble to the Constitution, and you hear these people talking about God has given man inalienable rights, just look at it from his context and the context of what was happening. So it was evident that while they were saying that the Creator has given you inalienable rights, that they wasn't recognizing you as a member of God's creation. You weren't human.
Yes.
In their minds.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes.
Yes, we have inalienable rights that have been endowed upon us as our create by our Creator. But if you're dealing with a power, people who love power more than they love truth or being true to principles of morality, you know, then this is what we get. We get this hypocrisy, and they're able to enforce their will over, you know, that of the victims.
Yep. That surmised the whole thing. And then Jenna said, make sure I finish. Now, here it goes. Haley told the media, quote, on the contrary, we take this step because our commitment does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights. That was Nikki Haley. And this whole system is a mockery of benevolency. You know, if you read, remember we read the civil rights, it said pains and punishments. Notice what they didn't write in the statement of civil rights. They didn't write prosperity. They didn't write liberty. They didn't write in there anything that was beneficial. Everything that was in there was you obeying them. So very, very critical. This system is really, really keen and cunning in his overall deceptive practice. We got Brother Otis here. Brother Otis, go ahead, sound off. Then we got another caller out of Florida that we want to get to. Go ahead, Brother Otis.
Yeah, good evening. I just wanted to tag on to what Roz was saying earlier. That was part of the reason that I was bringing up the prison system. If you understand how the prison system works, the control is actually by the guards. And we already know that you private prisons also. Now, the point being, when you lock up over 750 to 800,000 people and circulate them back into society after you created an environment where they believe that separation is the only way of survival, once they come out, they create dissension throughout the community, even in families that appear to be stable. When you bring somebody with that mindset back into the family, it makes it doubly hard to create exactly what Rods was talking about, what we know is the real path to settling this. That is how you subvert all movements. When you bring, I know personally families that are going through that, that have multiple ethnicities throughout the family, and then you bring somebody that's been sitting in jail for decades back into your family, they create all kinds of dissension because they truly believe that survival mode that they were forced into or created around them. And here's my point. The prison system creates that because it helps to maintain jobs and helps promote the industry that they're in. They're not concerned with any civility. And the other point I make is, just like Haley them, the biggest thing they use is a call for morality, etiquette, and civil control, as though they have authority over it. And you already know they're subverting all of that around the globe. So yep. For her to come on and claim that they can't do it because of some moral position that they have, you got to remember, what did George Bush do, the second Bush do, when this commission was actually created? And created till like 2006, he withdrew for over 3 years. Obama was the one that put us back in there in 2009, saying that they could change it from the inside, and then he put us back in there. But the point is now Trump is coming out of it, because I stay in touch with a lady, Catherine Coleman Flowers, that's headed to that UN now to present all of the things that the special UN envoy just finished saying about this country, that they're creating humanitarian genocide on black people in America with hookworms in Georgia. And Skid Row, the largest Skid Row he's ever seen in a industrialized nation. So they're trying to avoid any accountability on the world stage.
Yeah. Well said. And, you know, I would like to comment, but we can't because we got another caller. We got 3 minutes left. Caller out of Florida. Well said, Otis. A caller out of Florida. What say you? Welcome to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
My name is Beulah, and I'm actually in Indiana. My cell phone number calls up in Tampa, where I used to live at. And I am just looking at, you know, the pictures, everybody. Yes, thank you very much. I'm just looking at overall, you know, what's happening here in the United States and abroad with the immigrants and the people who are supposedly U.S. citizens. As they say, we black people were brought here against our will, so we're not actually immigrants. We are, I know, we're not actually citizens because we never agreed to citizenship, but that was foisted upon us, and supposedly we were supposed to get all the benefits of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and, you know, all those paperwork that was signed by the Founding Fathers, mm-hmm. but we know that was never true. And then they have other immigrants at this point wanting to come into the country seeking, you know, the liberty, the freedom, opportunities, and so forth and so on, and they're pushing them back. And with that, it's a political agenda, of course. It's not anything about protect our borders so much as don't let the people in. Because once the people come in and they take advantage of what this government has to offer, and for the most part, a lot of immigrants, I believe they come in looking for that freedom. And with the organization or the power structure that's in power right now with the Republicans, they are being very undemocratic, very unconstitutional, and they don't even care about your liberty or your rights, okay? And once these immigrants come in and they see that, they vote Democrat. So part of that agenda is to make sure that you disseminate the Democratic voters, you know, from this country, so they don't have enough of the backing to, you know, bring them back into power. That's part mm-hmm. of what I see it's really all about. It's not anything, you know, about the border wall. And that's just something Trump throws out there to get his base riled up, like he throws out so much garbage to get them riled up. And then you have these people coming. Now there's a big push now about these immigrant children being separated from their families. Well, I don't know. We as black people, we have our own, you know, troubles enough to deal with rather than coming up, you know, for the support of these immigrants. No, I don't agree with kids being taken from their families, but that's not our fight. But I do see certain, I suppose you call liberal-leaning black people, such as Reverend Al and some other women that I saw on Fox News coming up, black women, saying, yeah, we need to do something about this. We cannot tolerate this in this country. Whereas, you know, we black people have been subject to all kinds of mistreatment here. And I never saw the Latino people coming up, you know, speaking on our behalf at all. And now to think that we should rally, you know, to their cause, when coming into this country, they are really also displacing us in the sense of what we have been, you know, trying to gain economic parity and so forth here. And they come in, and I'm sure some of them do struggle, but they do get all the benefits, you know, of being in this country. They say they don't get social services, but I don't believe that. How then are you going to get a house? How then are you going to feed your family if you're not getting social services and you're coming to this country with nothing? So there's a lot of political, you know, things, you know, going on around that. And it's never really, for Trump, not a moral issue at all. It's a political issue. And as for the UN, they don't have anything to back them up. They don't have any enforcement powers whatsoever. They can talk and, you know, and do whatever they do there in the UN sessions, but they don't, really don't have any political power. So the U.S. is a big hypocritical nation, as we very well know, but unfortunately the UN, it doesn't have the power to back up what they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, sister. And appreciate, I'm going to say there's some things that I thoroughly don't agree with, and that's just an agreement from me that doesn't make it right, because if you, from my standpoint, is there's not even white people in this country that have constitutional rights. You think that that may be the truth, but if you really read the Constitution, there is not one person or very few people here that have constitutional rights. If you read the Constitution, you will see that the Constitution was actually written by the founders, and the founding fathers. Many people think that founding father stuff was written for the people. No, it was written as a foundation for their families and their families only.
AJ.
And so this is a big misconception, a huge misconception that's very, very, you know, that's put upon us in so many ways. And one sec, Scotty, and I can tell you how you know that that's the truth. Here's how you know that that's the truth. If you read the Constitution, it says that all states have to pay their debts in silver and gold coin only. The word only is there. When was the last time the state or the federal government, in owing you something, paid you in silver and gold? They never have and they never will, because you're not privy to the Constitution, nor is white people. It's a misconception. It's the bottom line, it's the truth. And
yeah,
it's written,
I realized
right there.
That it was the founding fathers were the landowners, the educated class. They did not think regular people had the mindset or enough intelligence to rule themselves. So they basically set it up for a hierarchy, monarchy kind of thing where they
it's
are
legal
in
structure.
Charge always. Yes.
If you heard
yes.
of the Clinton
yes.
Foundation?
Yes.
That is what they established.
Yeah,
they
okay.
That's exactly
Dave,
what was established. Yes, sister. That was it. But go ahead, Scotty,
yeah,
before we get ready to get out of here.
Yeah, before we get ready to get out of here, I appreciate the views and comments that are expressed by everyone, but I don't agree with what was expressed in the last 5 minutes. But like Dave said, agreement isn't necessary. What's necessary is dialogue so that we can figure out why we don't agree, see if there's any common ground to be had and what have you, and if not, in agreement to just disagree without any hard feelings.
Yep.
But I wanted to chime in about the use of the word immigrants. When we're talking about a people that is being described as filing for political asylum, fleeing gang violence and government violence, government corruption violence, all because of the United States drug policy and destabilizing
right.
those regions, immigrant isn't the proper word to apply to these people. Refugee is, okay? An immigrant is someone who we're told wants to come here because, hey, they got so much liberty and freedom in the United States, and I fell for the propaganda, and I just want to become a citizen. No, that's not what's happening with this crisis. Especially when you got children, lots of children over the past several years who've been coming over the border unaccompanied. That means that these parents was in such a dire situation that they put their kids in the hands, or their children in the hands of human traffickers. Okay? That's some dire situation. That's a bold move right there. So what are you facing in your home country? Well, all of this has been documented of what the violence, the drug war has created, the violence, the gun walking schemes of the ATF has created in Mexico.
The
so
poverty.
These are refugees fleeing U.S. policies that have destabilized their own homes and turned them into war zones. Those are refugees, just like the refugees that's fleeing parts of Africa that is war-torn because of mostly European and American interests that's being fought over through proxies, okay, by the people that live there but being propped up by one party or another that is not indigenous to the continent and what have you. So I don't look at it as me as a black person or black people should stand up for them. I'm an abolitionist. I'm for justice. So if there's injustice anywhere happening, I can't put no color qualifier on it or whether or not I'm going to speak out about it. Okay? This is a fight between the oppressed and those doing the oppression. And unfortunately, a lot of those people that's doing the oppression look like us. I can't tell you, you know, let's not forget the black people, since we want to bring up black people and what we should and shouldn't do. Maybe black people shouldn't join the United States military and go over to these other lands and destabilize them. I had a cousin who was stationed in Honduras and what have you. I was stationed in Hawaii, you know, a kidnapped nation that had sovereignty, and then their queen kidnapped and forced to sign over some papers of ownership to the United States. So I can't look at it. I had to follow, first of all, my Christian principles, and yes, I'm a Christian. And secondly, I try to follow the example set by Dr. Martin Luther King, who said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and by Malcolm X, who said that the only way that we're going to get freedom is to identify with the oppressed all over the world, that this is a global struggle, okay? And white supremacy, whether you're talking about white supremacy or a system of slavery, it's a global system. It's a global system, and it's oppressing more than just black people. But we also have to give an account when we put on that uniform and we do the bidding of the slavers, and those people could be looking at us the same way. You know, as I told a story about being kidnapped in Hawaii as a young soldier and told how I was coming over here helping these Howleys colonize their island and what have you. So, I mean, it's lots of things to consider. But, Dave, I know we're out of time, but I appreciate, you know, you giving us this dialogue.
Man, brother, I appreciate you. And to the sister that called in, I just want to say thank you for calling in. And some of the things that I didn't agree with you, that was just the political side of it, you know, Democrats and Republicans. I'm a political atheist, sister, and I know. But in dialogue, I know that that energy that you speak of is a resonant energy of truth and well-being. And I truly thank you for listening and calling in. And to all of you, Roz, Jenna, Brother OG that called in, Brother Otis that called in, and then it was someone else. My man Scotty, of course. So I just want to say it's never goodbye, everyone. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. Much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid.